Welcome back to Eco Talk. I'm Betsy Rosenberg, and was on a panel, actually moderating a panel at the New Living Expo about a month ago with some folks that were so interesting that I really, as I was listening to each and every one of them, said this would make a great panel just to move over to the show, because they're really talking about what so many people have on their minds and able to answer questions that I know many people have asked us here at EcoTalk, and we try to get the answers. You know, what is the truth about ethanol? What is the state of biofuels? How can I get biodiesel? And because I'd never have to go too far to get experts living here in the Great Green Bay Area, I didn't have to go too far. Just across the bay, Sarah Hope Smith, co-founder of the Biofuel Oasis. You're going to hear all about that and all the wonderful success they're having. So busy they can barely keep up. And Eric Bowen, president of San Francisco Biofuels Cooperative, and a very exciting announcement coming out of San Francisco just this week, actually. And Eric had a lot to do with that. So thank you, both of you, for joining us. We have Eric in studio. Sarah Hope's on the phone. So there is a lot of buzz about ethanol right now. Eric, what is ethanol going to be able to do, and what will it not do, or what will it do, and what problems might that create? Because that really, the good news is everyone's talking about ethanol. The bad news is I think there's a lot of misunderstanding, or maybe it's just more complex than just a simple good or bad.
That is an excellent question, Betsy. There is a lot of buzz about ethanol, and that buzz can largely be attributed to what we've seen at the price of the pump for gasoline. The American consumers are being asked to pay north of $3 a gallon for gasoline. Here in Northern California, I'm seeing it around $3.25, and that's causing a lot of economic pain for people. When they search for alternatives, and you begin to look for alternatives that are available today, there are very few alternatives to gasoline that are available at all. One of those that is available today, which is why ethanol gets all the attention, is ethanol. It's important to sort of keep in mind when we talk about biofuels and ethanol that not all fuels are equal. So biodiesel, for instance, would go into a diesel application, where ethanol goes into a gasoline application. So
And in the form of E85 in many cases.
Yeah, E85 is a great form of ethanol. E85 is an 85% ethanol, 15% gasoline blend. Most of the country, including us out here in California, actually see ethanol in what we call a low blend. So it's used as an oxygenate additive to the gasoline to help that gasoline burn cleaner, and is more in a blend somewhere around the 5% ratio.
So would that be labeled as such? Like, are we using it, that blend you're talking about, not even being aware of it? Or is that going to be labeled ethanol, so you may buy it thinking you're, you know, getting something that's going to be certainly cleaner for the environment, if not cheaper?
I would guess that 99% of Californians are unaware that there is ethanol in their gasoline today.
Already, but
it is actually labeled at the pump, but it's a very, very small little label that, unless you're reading the fine print at the gas station, you're not going to pick up on that.
So why can't we all have 85% ethanol in our gallon of gas?
We can't all have 85% ethanol in our gallon of gas today for a couple of reasons. One would be supply, and the second would be technology. I'll take those in reverse order. So in order to use 85% ethanol in a vehicle, the vehicle has to have some slight modifications in order to do that. A lot of cars that are rolling off assembly lines today already have those modifications built in, and they come stock that way. The Ford Tauruses, a lot of the larger SUVs, a lot of the Mercedes. And the reason they can use 85% ethanol and most of the other vehicles cannot is because they have slightly different hosing systems to take advantage or compensate for the evaporative properties of ethanol. And they have an extra chip that's in there that's an oxygen sensor that changes the timing of the engine to run more efficiently on that higher blend of ethanol. If you were to put 85% ethanol into a car that did not have those things, it would cause the car to run very, very rough.
Okay.
The second issue being, of course, supply. That if we tried to transition tomorrow the whole country to 85% ethanol in our fuel mix, we simply wouldn't have enough ethanol to allow us to do that today.
Okay. Let's just transition for a moment to biodiesel. Sarah Hope Smith, a co-founder of Biofuel Oasis. First of all, what is that Biofuel Oasis you've got going over there?
Biofuel Oasis is basically it's a retail pump to get biodiesel out to folks. It was one of the first dedicated biodiesel stations in the country serving up B100, which is a pure biodiesel, because that's what the people in the Bay Area wanted.
Now, is biodiesel still only available to use in diesel-powered vehicles like the Volkswagen, like the Mercedes?
Well, like the name says, it is a fuel for the diesel engine. The diesel and the gasoline engine, as Eric sort of implied, are very different creatures. And so biodiesel is a fuel intended for that specific type of diesel, any diesel engine. And, yes.
Okay, so are people doing just that, buying old VWs and Mercedes and converting them? And what's involved in conversion?
Sure. Our first, our early adopters were certainly the older vehicles. People were a little uncertain, you know, I don't want to spend a lot of money on a new vehicle to, you know, try this. What is this biodiesel stuff? And so we saw a lot of older Mercedes and the older VWs and different things. Now I'd say a good 50% or more of our population, and we have one of the second largest biodiesel fleets, if you will, or user populations documented in the country. Most of them are driving newer VWs because they just offer a higher fuel economy. One of the beauties of the diesel engine itself is that it has such a high fuel economy, and it's a proven technology. So people get in there and they're like, wow, this is as good as a hybrid. You know, I'm getting 40 to 50 miles per gallon, and then they're using a renewable fuel, biodiesel, on top of that. So they're very, very excited.
Now, do you just have one? Is it a gas station, in fact? What does it look like?
Well, some people have called it a biodiesel speakeasy. We'd like to, it doesn't look like your average gas station. It's more like a warehouse. And we have an actual gas station pump in there, an 80s-style pump in there. We initially started selling the fuel in 5-gallon containers while we were waiting to get permitted and properly up and in place. But now we have, it's almost like the 70s because there's such a rush of people wanting to get biodiesel that there's often a line of folks waiting to come in and get their biodiesel and hit the road.
Now, biodiesel is not necessarily cheaper, and I understand that's been a source of some frustration on your part.
You know, it's interesting because I was just up working with some folks in Washington and got a call in from a guy, you know, who was really interested. Well, I thought the whole thing about biodiesel was that it's supposed to be cheaper. And when you look on the internet, there's like, make your own biodiesel for under $1 a gallon. The truth is that it has tended to be about $1 more per gallon than petrodiesel has over the last 2-3 years. That's the difference that we've seen. And in the last year, we've seen that price gap close, and now it's actually very close. In some places, biodiesel is actually less than petrodiesel, and some places it's still a little bit more than it is.
On the panel, you made a good point, though. The farmers are just trying to earn a good living, too, and be part of the action. That's not necessarily a bad thing. Would we rather give our dollars to American farmers or to Bin Laden and Associates?
Exactly. That's the beauty of biofuels in general, is that they support a domestic economy and help support our farmers, which have been, you know, had a really hard time with all the different trade policies and different things that we've had go on internationally. So to turn to biofuels, even though they might be slightly more expensive in the pocketbook, overall is going to strengthen the economy, which in the long run is actually going to make things more affordable for people, I think.
Not to mention the huge environmental savings, which,
exactly,
you know, gets lost so often. Like, I've seen articles, you know, people saying, well, if I get a hybrid, will I really save money? And they do all these calculations. Usually it's like in car magazines, and they'll say, no, you really won't. But they never mention, you know, that we'll have cleaner air, which, you know, is a value that you think we would start, you know, putting a little bit more attention on.
Yeah, you'd think that that would matter somewhere along the line.
Maybe we all have to get asthma first.
No, please no.
So Eric, you work a lot in the financial end of really incentivizing renewable fuels. What's happening there? I imagine there's a pretty interesting curve happening now.
There's a lot of activity in the investment community in the biofuels arena. Most of that money is flowing into ethanol. These are large 30 to 100 million gallon per year corn ethanol plants. We've seen recent investments from Bill Gates, from Goldman Sachs, from Kleiner Perkins, all going into this particular sector. Right now, if you're making ethanol in America, you are essentially printing money in the same way that the petroleum companies are printing money.
Now, is there such demand for ethanol that there will actually be less corn available to eat if a lot more farmers really start planting corn to be used as ethanol? And does it come from a byproduct of corn, or is it actually the best part of the corn cob that's being used for ethanol? Maybe sort of describe what's going on and then why maybe there's some other more promising sources of ethanol beyond corn.
All excellent questions.
That's about why I get paid the big bucks here.
About 13% of all U.S. corn is currently going into ethanol production. When the corn is going into ethanol production, there are two products that are coming out, the primary product being the ethanol, the secondary product being what's called distiller's grain, which is fed to dairy cattle for feed. one of the things to really keep in mind with biofuels, and it's a dynamic that Sarah Hope and I very much work to avoid, is setting up any competition between food and fuel. We firmly believe that in all instances, food comes first, and that the biofuels really are an opportunity to take surplus agricultural crops or bring on new agricultural crops or take waste product, like in the case of biodiesel, waste restaurant cooking oil, and turn those into fuel first, not having competition. As far as future development goes, one of the very exciting opportunities with ethanol is something called cellulosic ethanol.
Yes.
This is taking the waste plant material, so that could be corn stalks, or you could grow dedicated crops like native switchgrass, which is a perennial, and take all of that plant matter, convert that into fermentable sugars, which you could then convert into ethanol, and really have a true win-win where you can displace massive amounts of petroleum and have no food versus fuel competition.
And wasn't it fabulous to see Dick Durbin and others talking for the whole hour on Larry King Live last week about these very issues? Can we kick the oil habit, I think was the title of the show. And they were talking about biofuels with intelligence. It's, you know, it was really refreshing to see these issues that so many of us have been working so hard to get out in the mainstream, you know, getting out there finally.
I couldn't agree more, and I think it's really helped having some heavyweights like Vinod Khosla, who's been a big partner at Kleiner Perkins, getting in and talking around the country and with legislators about the opportunity with cellulosic ethanol. It's been a great change.
It's been a great pleasure to have both of you. We'll have to have you back. There's never enough time. Eric Bowen, president of the San Francisco Biofuels Cooperative, and Sarah Hope Smith, co-founder of Biofuel Oasis. If you'd like to find out more about the topics we've been discussing, and in particular about the Oasis and about Eric's group as well, go to our website at www.ecotalk.net. You'll find links there. Stay with us when we come back. Plug-in hybrids. It just gets better.